Morning.
We're still serious about faith. I want to talk today about faith, how they very familiar for you, but I found, I was reading the scholars, they put some of them a little bit shy, saying that this lady's work set up, her work produced by faith set up, they were afraid. I think it is to acknowledge that for all this work. See this beautiful story, ability, repentance, faith, that all priests. You don't hear priests a lot or repent. It's like that's become a dirty word in the church, our culture. All it means is change. But I don't hear a lot of faith talk. I think they speak. I saw a cartoon one time, Moses, in front of a burning bush. The captain said, "You don't have to take off your sandals, I'm a bush." And sometimes I think that's the gospel. If the scriptures point out to somebody that they're a sinner, they get offended. And we don't see today that this lady is anything but a text is Luke 7. Verse 36 here. One of the Pharisees asked him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was sitting reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask, point, and standing behind him at his feet, began to wet his feet with his tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, kissed and anointed them with joint. Now when the Pharisee who had asked him, guided him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who has touched him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, I thank you that your word does not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it out to do. Lord, as I preach this message of repentance, salvation, I pray if there be anyone here today who does not know you, that this might be their day of salvation. If there's anyone here today who is awake, Lord, who's not in fellowship with you where they belong, I pray that this will be a day that they will be reclaimed. I thank you for your mercy, Lord, that's new every day. And I thank you for the mercy you show to the truly repentant. Jesus, amen. As I said when I was studying this week, some of the scholars kind of tiptoed around this. And Dr. Clark said, "Well, she'd already been saved, and she was thanking Jesus for saving her, was why she was so affectionate. And I didn't see it that way. Sorry, Dr. Clark, but you don't have to make a works thing out of this. If you understand humility and repentance, the Bible says a woman which was a sinner. So she's called what she is. She's a sinner. And there's no arguing that. And that word in the Greek means sinful as an absolute moral failure. One who violates God's will or law. Now, got to understand, whenever the Jews use this word, it was used very often to refer to Gentiles, for heathen. Paul, in his rebuke to Peter, he said, we Jews who are not born sinners like the Gentiles, that's the word. And Dr. Clark tends to think in his writing that this woman was possibly a Gentile that lived in the city. Others say, well, she was a prostitute. I guess if a woman's a sinner, that's the first thing that comes into people's mind. But the fact was that she was a moral failure. She was not keeping God's law, but in all honesty, neither was Simon the Pharisee. She came in where they were sitting, and in this culture, they didn't sit in chairs. Their tables were very short-legged. You sat with your knees slid under the table, and you took your shoes off, your sandals, and your feet were behind you. And you reclined on your left side. There's passages that say Jesus reclined his table. And they laid on their left side, on their elbow, and that's how they ate. And this woman, I don't know if she'd heard him preach. They're not sure whether this is at Nain, Jesus raised a widow's son from the dead, or if it's at Capernaum, which was basically a headquarters. A lot of them believe it was at Capernaum. But somewhere, somehow, this lady had heard of Jesus. She knew she was a sinner. She had no illusion about it. When Simon thought within himself, she's a sinner, if he'd have said it out loud, I think she'd have said, yeah, I'm a sinner. She didn't have Jesus Christ. And she came in behind Jesus. And she began to weep. And that word to weep is a very strong emotional word. It's to mourn. It can mean to wail out loud. To sob with the whole body. You ever see somebody broken and their body is shaken by tears, by the grief. And the scriptures bear out this is what's going on. In fact, Jesus said, she has washed my feet with her tears. Jesus said also, blessed are those who mourn, they should be comforted. That doesn't mean blessed are those who mourn over the dead at a funeral. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins. Not yours. I don't mourn over your sins, although I can. As an elder, if you're in unrepentant sin, yes, I can mourn that. You know why Jesus said you're blessed? Because you realize you're a sinner. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent draws them. Here's a woman this Pharisee wouldn't give the time of day to, but it seems that according to Jesus, how the Father was drawing her to. Maybe she heard him preach somewhere. Maybe she saw him raise that widow's son. I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us details on this. It just says she learned that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house, and she went in and stood behind him. She began to weep, mourn. Her body shook and convulsed with sobs. She was broken. She was brokenhearted. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. According to Dr. Clark, the Greek says she began to water him. That's a lot of tears. They took their shoes off
for the age. And the polite thing to do to a guest in your house was to give them water to wash their feet. Or have one of your servants wash it, or if you really wanted to honor them, wash it. And this woman comes in, she's broken over her sin. She's in the presence of the Christ, the Holy Presence. I'm going to tell you, if you have never come into His presence in prayer through the union, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're missing. You know, I used to say, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk up and ask him. Or I'm going to run up and give him a hug. When John saw him in his glorified state, he said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. When Daniel saw him, he said, I fell to the ground and I had no breath left in me. When Isaiah saw him, he cried out, woe is me, I'm an unclean man. And that's why God tells us to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes you and I don't know what to say, and he said the Spirit will intercede with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Greek says, uttered in articulate speech. And some of our brothers and sisters say, that's tongues. No, it's moaning. It's mourning. It's being brokenhearted. Nobody had to tell this woman she was a sinner. She knew it. And when she got into the presence of the Holy Christ, I can just imagine that her sins started flooding her mind. They started coming to the surface. She began to see herself as God saw her. And that caused her to break. You know why there's so many shallow conversions today? I don't want to know why. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Because people aren't told that they're sinners. They're not told that they're God's enemies. Well, brother, we need to preach of, you know, Jesus come down here so we could all love one another. The Bible said he came here to save us from the wrath of God. When God returns, he ain't going to be happy. Well, that's kind of pessimistic. That's what the word says, wrath. It said Jesus is coming in fire to take vengeance on his enemies. That's something to bawl about. If you're not a Christian, I remember a preacher said, now look, Brother Rick, we're not here to scare the hell out of people. We're here to preach love. Jude said, some of them you got to scare. You got to pull them out of the fire. In the old churches, when I was a kid that I had visited, they had this bench out front on each side. I remember asking one old timer, what's that? He said, that's the mourner's bench. I said, why is it the mourner's bench? He said, this is where we come and pray. Especially if a message is convicted us. We come and we pray and we make it right for God. Some called it an altar. This woman didn't have a bench to visit. But you know, I think we ought to bring them back to the church. Just in case somebody comes under conviction. Just in case they say yes to the Holy Spirit. One of the most dangerous things you can do, Christian, is when the Holy Spirit's convicted, you say, oh, some other time. Some other time. I know I've got this problem, Lord, but... This woman came to Jesus, and I believe with all my heart, she believed in her own heart, he's the only way I'm going to get my... Now, Simon, the Pharisee, did his best to live by the law of Moses, and I found in the reading that whenever they said you're a sinner, sometimes it meant they don't even try to follow the law. They're Jews, but they don't even try to obey the law. The tax collectors were branded as sinners. by the hair. They sin on purpose. So they'd be like the Hell's Angels. That's probably one of the best examples I could give you. These people sin, they don't care who knows it. And Simon is looking down his sanctimonious nose at this woman. And you know what happened? He begins to doubt and be suspicious of who Jesus is. He said, if this guy were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. Women didn't touch men in public in this culture. They didn't even talk to him. And she was not only touching him, she was kissing his feet. And Dr. Clark says the Greek means again and again and again and again. She was smothering his feet with kisses. And the Pharisee said, if Jesus were really a prophet, he starts analyzing the situation. If Jesus were a law-abiding Jew, he would rebuke her for that. She took her hair down in public to wipe his feet, and that was considered very loose and lewd behavior for a woman. You ladies just couldn't catch a break back then. And Simon looks down his sanctimonious nose at Jesus and her. I don't think God's a prophet. He's letting that woman, if he were a prophet, and the way they explained it, he would have discernment of spirit and know this is a wicked person. See, under the Pharisees' tradition that they incorporated into the law of Moses, if you let a sinner touch you, you were unclean. You were defiled. Their sin rubbed off on you. But praise the Lord, that doesn't happen to Jesus. When the sinner began to touch Jesus and the sinner began to kiss Jesus, her sin flowed from inside. I love this story because this salvation experience was mine. I have read this countless times. And I say, Lord, I'm that woman. Now, that might sound weird to you. No, I don't dress different when I leave here. Don't worry about that statement. I'm saying in my attitude, I am that woman. Christians have been witnessed to, stumble praying. You know, but I just kept poking and joking, going on. And one night I was sitting in a friend's living room alone, and he always left the case of the refrigerator, and I knew where it was, so I was drinking his beer, and I couldn't get the Lord off my mind. I kept thinking that Baptist speech said, slug, so do I, that's why I'm here. And I couldn't shake it. And I remember thinking, maybe you ought to pray. And that surprised me that I had that look. Where'd that come from? Hey, y'all, it's right. But I thought, what have I got to lose? And I remember when I hit the floor, it's like God opened my eyes and said, this is how I was a good old boy. I tell you, I'm a good old boy. I don't hurt anybody. I've never hurt you. I've never tried to steal from you, take something belong to you. Yeah, you know, I drink and I do my drugs, but I'm only hurting me. That's the attitude of the addict. I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Boy, that's a lie. Later I read, after I came to Christ, wine is a mocker and strong drink is a rage, and those who are deceived by it are not wise. God said that, I did. But I remember, as I began to pray, the presence of Christ entered that room. And all of a sudden, it was me and Christ one-on-one. No, I didn't see him standing there. His presence was there. That's the only way I can explain it. And my sins began to boil up from the inside. And like I said, it was like God said, this is what I see. And it broke me. And I began to weep. And I began to pray. And I began to call out on the name of the Lord. God worked it where I didn't get saved in a church because I was confessing my sins out loud. And I don't think there's very many church people would have known how to minister to me if I'd have been in the front row talking that way, saying, oh God, forgive me, I've done this, I've done this. That's why I identify with this woman. Very few people today are broken over sin. They call them mistakes.
Oh, they made a mistake.
Boo-boos. Uh-ohs. Oh, well. Oh, well, I messed up. Sin is so serious that God allowed his son to be nailed to a cross. I'm going to tell you something else that proves he will judge sin. Now, Jesus said, Simon, I've got a few things to say to you. He said, well, fellow. And he told him the story of the two debtors. Of course, we know what he's talking about. Simon's the guy that owed 50 cents, 50 denarii. He owed 500. In comparison, 5,500. Simon tried to keep in the law. You know, he wasn't out just sinning intentionally. But he was sinning. And something that went right over this guy's head in this story, neither one could pay their debt. The guy that owed 50 and the guy that owed 500. And he said, well, since they couldn't pay the debt, he forgave them both. On whose merit? Creditor's merit. Not on the people that borrowed. He forgave them both. He said, now who's going to love the creditor more? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one who gave most. He said, you're right. You've judged right, Simon. Am I saying that a salvation experience should be a bunch of bawling and squalling? I'm saying 90% of the time, yes. I read of years ago, a tent meeting that Billy Sunday was preaching, and a man came to the mourner's bench, and he was weeping and confessing his sins out loud. And Billy Sunday was standing next to him, and the preacher noticed Sunday, looked at him and said, my God, boy, if I'd live like that, I'd cry too. We don't expect that anymore. Sin should grieve you if you're a Christian. It should grieve you. This woman didn't say, Jesus, I've made a mistake. She was at his feet in all humility saying, I need your forgiveness. Simon had the law, but it couldn't save him. It went right over his head. Jesus said, yeah, dude, comparatively, you only owe God 50 denarii. That's what denarii was a day's wage. She owed over a year's wage in comparison. But guess what, Simon? You need to be forgiven. But Simon just took her that ugly. I remember a Baptist church I attended not long after I stayed. God hadn't told me to cut my hair, so I had hair down. And people be going, amen, and I go, right on. They turn around and look at me like, right on's not a sanctified statement. No. And I remember this guy was a logger in Wyoming, professional logger. And he'd come down to spend the winter in the city to go back to the woods. He invited me to his house for lunch one day. I thought, that's cool. It's redneck. High top, buzz cut, everything. So redneck all the way. And I get to the house and he starts in on me immediately about my hair. You know, if you want to look more like a Christian, God will cut your hair. Well, God hadn't said anything to me yet about cutting my hair. Well, you look like a pooper. And how's God going to get any glory with you running around looking like a druggie? I said, it's giving me some opportunities to witness. Somebody say, you want to get high? Yeah. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you about Jesus. Boy, they'd roll their bag up and hit the road. I just knew I got something to tell them. I got to get home. He's the one that told me, I was sharing some of my testimony, and his name was Jim. And Jim said, you know what? I was a sinner, but I wasn't a scuzz bag you were. I said, yeah, but we were going to the same hell. How would you like to be stuck next to me in hell for eternity? It struck me like Simon. Well, are you a Baptist? I said, no, I'm a Christian. Well, you got to take sides. I said, why? You know, when I first got saved, I told the Lord I won't join any church, not even the Christian or the Church of Christ. I ain't joining any of them. It's just between me. And one day I was complaining about things in church, hypocrisy in church, the things that weren't getting done, and the Lord said, how can you fix anything outside? Choked down the pride to get in there and suddenly he's gone. Two people lost sin. Two people. Simon and this woman. Jesus said, man, you're not even a good host, Simon. He said, I came in, you didn't even offer me water for my feet. But he called me teacher. Rabbi, he used the term of respect, but he said, you're giving God lip service, man. But she's wet my feet with her tears, dried them with her hair. He said, you didn't offer me a kiss, which was customary. This culture. Men kissed each other on the cheek. Paul said in the one church, greet each other with a kiss of love. Don't do that in church today. People won't take that right. They were both lost. Jesus said he's going to love predator more than all the ones who gave the most. You know, I've noticed this in my life. Christians, some of the most fired up Christians I've ever met on the other side were some of the biggest thieves back in the world. Sinners. On purpose. But when the forgiveness of God comes in, and it's like, all of a sudden, you've got this new mission spot. I'm a person. I've had some people tell me, we're tired of you making us feel like a sinner. I can't make you feel like a sinner. All I can do is present the word, and the Holy Spirit does the conviction. So if you got a problem, take it up with him. Okay? I'm a sinner. I struggle with sin every day. I'm no better than you. But I go back to the feet of Jesus. I have learned that's where I belong. I'm learning as I get older. I'm getting a little smarter. By the time I'm dead, I ought to be real intelligent. Yeah. Jesus said, you didn't anoint me for the oil, but she anointed my feet. In this culture, that was common to anoint people. Said, you was with olive oil. It had a cooling effect. That doesn't find it. And I want to share something with you. If she was a prophet, like a lot of them, just for argument's sake, let's say she was. They would take that ointment and dabble it on their bed when they bring a man in to have relations with them. They've also pressed those. She took that, which helped her make a living if she was a prophet. She poured it on the Lord. You know, she's saying, everything I have is yours. Every talent given. I mean, if she was a hooker, she was saying, Lord, I'll never again anoint my bed and take a man into it. It's not my husband. How's she going to make a living? I don't know. But she knew that the life that she led was sinful and it was against God. And I don't know why some of the scholars just can't resign themselves to the fact that this is a woman asking for forgiveness. This is a woman whose faith has activated her. Remember, faith without works is dead. James said, you believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe. But he said, as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This woman believed in who Jesus was. And because she did believe that, she petitioned him for forgiveness. She didn't have anything to give him. You know, she had no moral argument as why she should be saved. And Simon was just as lost as she was, but he was self-deceived and thought, oh, well, you know, I got the law. The light of the law. They call it the light of the law. Two people sitting at that table who got saved. The one who humbled herself and asked salvation. And I love it. They're sitting there going, this guy, if he's a prophet, he tells. Then he looks at her and he says, you're sinking. Giving it up. What? Who is this that even preached? Well, praise God. Then he looked at her and said, go on. You hear those words from the mouth of faith. I slept the best I've slept here. I'm out of it. And when I woke up in the morning, I knew something happened. I wasn't stuck. But for me, I'm not saying you have to replicate my experience. For me, it was a struggle. It was done with tears. It was done with crying out. But for the first time in my life, I realized I was lost. I'm not a good guy. And if Jesus, if you don't do something, I'm doomed. And I almost expected him to say, no, I'm not going to do anything. You used to follow me, and then you quit. So you can't follow me anymore. That's what the devil told me for a long time. Well, you walked away from God, so too bad, kid. Read Hebrews 6, 1 through 4. Well, the only problem was I hadn't met any of them qualifications yet. I hadn't experienced the Holy Spirit or the powers of the age to come. I was a punk kid. All I knew was the Bible and baptism. I'd go through and tell all the Baptists, you're going to hell because you were baptized for the wrong reason. Then they'd pull me in the principal's office. Stop telling the Baptists they're going to hell. Well, somebody needs to tell them. You know, that was the attitude I had. The Church of Christ, woo, the Christian Church, yeah, we're going to heaven. They just won't play hard free will. Now, that's going to be the difference between us and heaven. That's all I knew. All that I knew. Four kids. You know, as I've been studying this lesson, I have been thinking a lot about my past. And I told God yesterday, man, I was really stupid. I'm talking about from the time I was about 11 years old. I was mad. But one day I came to Jesus and I knelt at his feet and said, your sins are forgiven. He said to the woman, your faith is faith. Faith in what? That Jesus Christ gave her sin. You see, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Don't you know how pleased he was, who knew the heart of all people, when he could see this woman's face out, and he said, your faith, faith. He didn't say your word, but faith produces work. True faith produces work. Otherwise, you're just giving God a little. How has Jesus Christ changed your life? That's what I ask. Especially if I get talking to legalists, you know, they wave that Bible around like Simon. These people are sinners. Oh. So you're like, how did Jesus change your life? I asked a guy that one time, and he took a minute. Well, I don't quite know how to answer. I said, I do. Then people say, oh, are you bragging? Oh, I am what I am because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. I'm sober. I'm against all the things I used for. I love the Lord. And Jesus, I was messed up. And I really believe that God couldn't do anything to a guy like me. But it's like that night, he went to the guy, man. Tried everything there. Okay. And I experienced mercy and forgiveness. No, it doesn't. What has Christ done for us? Don't be content with saying, well, I believe in Jesus, and just not going any further than that. The Christian life is a journey. It starts the minute you call on His name. There's two kinds of people in the church. There's those who believe in Jesus, and there's those who follow Jesus. Big difference. When I say follow, I'm not talking about being perfect. But in the prophet Micah, he said, a righteous man will fall seven times, and seven times he'll rise. Hey, glory to God. That's what Jesus Christ. I remember a friend of mine, when that drug got saved, he picked me up and he had some purple microdot. That's LSD. And he always called it showboat, and I don't know why. But we'd drop acid together. And I got to say, he goes, man, I got some purple mics. You want a showboat? I said, no, I got saved. And I just seen this confused look at him. He goes, well, I'm happy. He said, I tried to be a Christian for a while, and it didn't work. I said, you know, when I try it by myself, it don't work. But I said, when I follow Jesus Christ, it all starts to fall into place. And on the inside, I was going, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Purple mice. Woo, let's take a trip and never leave the farm. Yeah. Am I bragging? Only 100. Christians can get into sin. You can actually even get into Satan's territory. Especially if you step out of God's will. And when you get into that territory, He will do His best to kill you while you're there. To rob you of your faith, your joy. We need to be like this woman. We need to be ready to go to the feet of Jesus at any given time. Don't play games. Call sin, sin. Call it for what it is. Repent. Change your mind. God, by your power, I'll not do that. I pray a lot to the Holy Spirit. Would you please put a guard over my mouth? I need one of them voices that tell you not to say things. So, I got a cartoon of all like that. You know that little voice in your head that tells you when not to say things? I probably ought to get one of those. Yeah, I'm the same way. David, in the Psalms, when he was repenting over his sin with Bathsheba, he said, you don't delight in burnt offerings or else I would give it. He said, the offering of God that God will receive is a broken and a contrite spirit. He said, you won't despise that. And I want to share with you this morning, God has done. People say, well, I got these issues, man. When I get them worked out, I'll come to church. Bring them with you. We all got issues. Some more is not going to hurt. Come as you are to Christ. And you'll walk away a different person. And this goes for Christians too. Man, we go through battles that it's just like we're whipped. We feel like I can't go on. All of the people stand with me. Next week we're going to talk about faith that overcomes. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about a lot of subjects here. I'm trying to make disciples. I appreciate you coming to these discipleship trainings as often as you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of Jesus, I invite you to. When Peter was asked what we need to do, he said, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And after that, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. People might think, well, that's too simple. Praise God, I'm glad it's simple, because us simple-minded people need simple things to follow. If you're away from Christ, you know it. You know you are. Don't leave here without falling at His feet. He's waiting to receive back into fellowship. That's where He wants you. He'll come. Sing the song. Taste. Trust. Faith. Thank you. church messages.